House Democrats lost at least a dozen seats in last week's midterm elections, giving Republicans their largest majority in more than 80 years. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 7:37 on this Tuesday, November 11th. We just heard from Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in our last half hour. Now we will hear from another member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation. We will talk with U.S. Representative Gwen Moore of Milwaukee about her priorities for the next 2 years. And we'll welcome your questions for her. What do you want to see a Congress accomplish in its next term? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Gwen Moore is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. She won her 6th term to the House by defeating Republican Dan Sebring last week with 70% of the vote. Good morning, Representative Moore.
How are you, Joy?
I'm good, thank you. So, your thoughts as to what happened last week during the midterms and why there was such a big Republican win, not only in Wisconsin but across the country. Why did things go south for Democrats on Election Day?
Well, Joy, obviously it's a disappointment, and obviously you're very hopeful. But historically speaking, in the 6th year of a presidency, often the other party wins congressional approval. It's just historic. It can be tracked. It's scientific. And, you know, that's one explanation. The other explanation is just the money. When I look at Wisconsin, for example, and as an insider in the Democratic Party, we really struggled to put together enough money to motivate and get out our vote. There were pockets of the state where we were unable to make any impact. We saw President Obama, for example, in a presidential year, be able, even though this is a red state in many places outside of the cities, there are pockets of voters all over the state. And I don't think that we were able to spend the kind of money. We just couldn't compete with the multi-millions of dollars that were available to Governor Walker. And I'm really proud of our candidate, Mary Burke. She made personal sacrifices of her own money, but we did fall short. And I do think that that's a temporary situation. I don't think that that the outcome of the election really created a mandate for Republicans. You look all over the country, and for example, and the minimum wage, increasing the minimum wage question prevailed. And yet, we see many of the folk who oppose raising the minimum wage actually winning the election. So there's a real disconnect there.
Yeah, so
I guess I want to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the minimum wage and some other issues too. But Senator Johnson and other Republicans say that the election results, in many ways, are a rejection of the policies of President Obama and the stances of Democrats. Do you see this as a referendum, a rejection of President Obama's positions?
I think there's a great deal of fear and angst and anxiety reflected in that, but I don't necessarily think it's all about Obama. It's about the dysfunction in Washington, dysfunction I think that was manufactured and created by Republicans. You know, as you know, Joy, while Michelle Obama was slipping into her gown for the inauguration, Republicans, including our own Paul Ryan and others, were sitting around a table plotting and planning to give this president not one single victory in anything in order to create this kind of chaos. I mean, Republicans have shut the government down. They have threatened the economic security of the country. We almost went into default. All of this in an effort to discredit President Obama, and I guess they were successful to that extent. They voted over 50 times to repeal Obamacare, and you know, Senator Johnson's position, he agrees with the question that's being raised before the Supreme Court. But the reality is that Obamacare has lowered health care costs by $36 billion just this year. We've had the lowest health care inflation in history, you know, because of Obamacare. And it will be a shame if the Supreme Court denies the subsidy to folk in those states, Wisconsin being one of them, based on some notion of states' rights. Because we're you know, it will deny the poorest and most vulnerable of our citizens any kind of health care. That would be a tragedy.
Let me bring in a caller, Scott in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Hi, Representative. I appreciate
you. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. One of the things that I've talked about as being a Democratic voter with some of my friends, and I've seen this elsewhere, is it's not so much that there's a policy problem with the Democrat, it's a marketing problem. You know, all these politicians that were running for re-election ran away from President Obama's victories and his legacy. He's done some amazing things, and yet nobody talks about it. Some of the things you're talking about right now, it never made national press, or it doesn't make it enough. If you guys adopt the Republican way where you say the same thing over and over, except the Democrats say it truly, as opposed to manufacturing something. So I don't know why the DNC has chosen this route, but they need to, you know, wake up a little bit here and start playing a little hardball instead of just walking away from and letting the Republicans beat up on the president when the president's doing a great job.
Yeah, well, you know,
that makes a great point.
President Obama did come to Wisconsin and campaigned with Mary Burke, but that didn't put her over the top with the election. But many people running for Congress were running away from a President Obama. Was that a mistake, Representative Moore?
Well, you know, I can tell you that, you know, everybody has – the president did what people asked for. I mean, I think it was a mistake, but that's because I'm like Scott. I'm a solid Democrat, and if I'm going to die, I'm going to die bravely. I'm going to go down waving my flag. And I think that that's the reason why I have won repeatedly. It's not because I've had a lot of money, but because people see me as being authentic. It just didn't feel authentic to people for you to say, everybody knows I was a Clinton delegate, and you know, wouldn't, you know, Alison Grimes wouldn't tell people who she voted for. That just didn't feel motivating to people who might have voted. And by the way, here in Milwaukee, voters did turn out. It wasn't a presidential level, but they voted. They turned out for Mary Burke. Scott makes the important point about marketing. And I think that I'm going to spend the next couple of years, Joy, trying to really frame in simplest terms possible what the debate is about. You know, Benjamin Franklin, when this country was born, you know, and when the founding fathers rejected a monarchy as a system of government, someone said to Benjamin Franklin, well, Doc, what do we have here? And he said, a republic, if we can keep it. And I would just amend that to say a democracy, if we keep it. Because what really is on these ballots is whether or not we're going to have an oligarchy, that is a government run by the wealthy, by people with vested interests in, you know, destroying the environment so they can pollute, with their gas and oil products, with wealthy people who can keep the tax code skewed toward their ability to move business offshore, or whether we're going to have a country run in the best interest of people, whether we're going to have an oligarchy that wants to destroy Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and I think that if we had stood up for those things, and I think we have an opportunity in 2016, we can win people back, because that's what's really at stake. When you listen, when you drill down into those, to the messages of very sophisticated Republicans, be it Paul Ryan or Scott Walker, what they're really saying is that wealthy people should be in charge, and I think that we've got to market that, as Scott says, to our folks.
We are talking with Gwen Moore. She's a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. We'll talk about some of the issues that are facing the country, will be before Congress, maybe, and such as minimum wage. We'll talk some about the flap over immigration reform and whether or not the president should or will take executive action on immigration. And we welcome your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore about issues before Congress and her priorities, and we're welcoming your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, Congresswoman Moore, as you mentioned, in Wisconsin and in other states, voters approved advisory referendum that called for raising the minimum wage. Does this make you any more hopeful that Congress will pass the proposal to raise the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour?
I think that they'll do something on it. And not only have these referenda passed all over the country, but you've seen, you know, the leading Republican, their nominee from the last presidential cycle, Mitt Romney, embraced raising the minimum wage. The U.S. Chambers of Commerce raised the minimum wage. The reality is that's how our economy works. 70% of our economy is driven by consumer spending. And so when people don't have any money, they don't spend. So when you see big box stores this time last year, Christmas cycle, one of my favorite retailers, a couple of them, JCPenney and Best Buy, were in the red at the end of the year. And that's because people didn't have any money. And so it only makes sense. We had the minimum wage first instituted, I think, back in the 30s. It was 25 cents an hour. You know, very clearly, it could not have stayed at 25 cents an hour. Now, you do have people like the Koch brothers and like our own governor who says that they don't see a purpose of a minimum wage. Back to my model of what kind of government we're going to have. There are Republicans who are far right who believe that we shouldn't even have any minimum wage. But our economy requires that people have money to spend, and it only makes sense at this point to give people greater purchasing power.
You know, it sounded like Senator Johnson was saying that he thought states should decide if they should raise the minimum wage. He didn't sound against raising the minimum wage. He was talking about doing that in conjunction with immigration reform, but he said but this is something the states should do. What about that?
Well, indeed, states are raising the minimum wage. And the federal government is not leading on that issue. You know, I do think that you have different economies around the country. But whenever I hear what states ought to do, what occurs to me is this overblown notion of quote-unquote states' rights. And this argument about states' rights has been used continuously to really deprive people of basic civil rights. Because I don't care where you live in the country, $7.25 an hour doesn't hit it. You can live in Mississippi or you can live in the state of Washington, and $7.25 doesn't get it. So there needs to be some kind of federal floor. And then if states choose to go above that because of the increased spending in their state, that would be great.
President Obama has vowed to use executive action on immigration reform. Do you support President Obama going it alone, or should he be working with Congress?
Well, I think that the Republicans, both in the House and in the Senate, have had tremendous opportunities to pass an immigration bill. As a matter of fact, Senate Republicans voted with the then majority or now majority of Democrats on a comprehensive immigration bill, and it hasn't moved anywhere. And so if the president has to do what the president has to do, and it wouldn't be any different from what President Eisenhower did, what President Kennedy did, with what both Bushes did, what Ronald Reagan did on immigration. They all used executive power to move the dialogue on immigration and to unify families. And so if he did it, it wouldn't be outside of his authority, number one, and it would not be outside of the precedents that have already been set.
Yeah, no, if President Obama does the executive action, though, won't his working relationship with Republicans who control Congress be even worse?
You know, the well has already been poisoned, Joy. And as I indicated, there's plenty of evidence. There's not a single Republican that's going to deny it, that they plotted to not cooperate with this president under any circumstances. They have put us on the precipice of financial ruin. They have shut the government down at tremendous costs. You know, they defied Obamacare. I mean, they begrudged millions of Americans health care, even though the Affordable Care Act is and was a Republican idea. And they have gone to no ends to discredit this president. And so, you know, the well is already poisoned. He may as well do something good for the American people.
Speaker,
and for immigrants.
The Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner, said practically the first thing he said was that the House will vote to repeal Obamacare, even, you know, after all this. So what's your prediction? What's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I mean, you know, the president is not going to sign that. Mm-hmm. But were he to sign it, it would just send us further into deficit spending. There is a plethora of evidence by the Congressional Budget Office and other independent reports that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, has lowered health care inflation. You know, and again, it would demonstrate that the Republicans are willing to put the country at risk for their own agenda. I think it is my belief, going back to my model of the oligarchs wanting to take control of the government, wanting to be the governing entity in our country, is that if people were not able to rely on the government for health care, they'd have to be reliant upon companies and accept any kind of wage that they'd offer, any kind of benefits that they'd have to offer. And the government's ability to provide people decent, affordable health care really frees them up from accepting employment under any circumstances. Now, Republicans talk often about how the Affordable Care Act was a job killer. No, what it did is it allowed people to make decisions about where they would work, mm-hmm. whether they would retire early, because they weren't tethered to some company, whether or not they would try their hand at an entrepreneurial pursuit because they weren't tethered to their company for health care.
You know, we have just a minute or so to go, and we have lots of callers who want to talk about voter turnout. And let me just ask you, do you think 2016, because it's a presidential year and our turnout in Wisconsin anyway is usually more, that Democrats are just going to win this all back in 2016?
Yep. And here and in the country, I mean, in 2016, the Republicans have 24 United States Senate seats to defend versus the Democrats only having to defend 10. We have greater turnout in presidential years. There's more money flowing. And I do think that the Republicans are going to overreach in these 2 years. And it's going to educate people about why they need to vote. I think that they are going to try to make changes, of course, to Obamacare. They're going to try to change Social Security and lower benefits for people. They're going to try to change Medicare, Medicaid. They're going to try to destroy food stamps, SNAP. They're going to make a tax on the EPA in the name of job creators. They're going to try to destroy, and that's really going to offend people in Wisconsin who care about the environment. And, of course, they're going to continue their attacks on women's health. They're going to overreach, and it's going to give Democrats a lot of ammunition for a big comeback.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you too, Joy.
Gwen Moore, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Jennifer Dargan for producing and directing this show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.